Time for Sports Lit 101. Bruce talking about a new book called Changing on the Fly, which gave Kerry the opportunity to play the theme from Hockey Night in Canada.
Yeah, well, and it's perfectly, that's the perfect music to play. This book is, it takes a lot to unpack it all. I can't possibly do that today, nor would I want to try to. I want to do it justice and set up for when we talk to the author, because this is a different kind of book. It took her 5 years to write and meticulously researched on an academic side. But she also did something that most academics don't do in books like this. And she went and talked to all the people she could find who would talk to her, who were from the South Asian community, be they immigrants or be native-born Canadians, and in regards to their relationship to ice hockey, including many members of the Canadian Sikh community. There's a movie called Breakaway, which will not make you forget all the greatest movies you've ever seen, but it's a good little movie that also deals with this, with the relationship between Sikhs and people from the Punjab, especially, and other South Asians. Now, but what she does is she uses those people to look at hockey in Canada and the myths around hockey in Canada as it pertains to all what she would call marginalized or racialized people, indigenous people, people from other parts of Asia, Canadian immigrants from Jamaica. As we know, there are those who have Caribbean ancestry, like P.K. Subban, who have made it all the way to the NHL. But this really took me back to one of the first hockey books that we talked about, which were Scott Young, Neil Young's father's, who was a longtime hockey writer, the Bill Spunska books, which were about a kid who was born in Poland and spent World War II in England and becomes Canadian by becoming a hockey player, and how for years Canada has been in Canada, as soon as you can understand hockey, you can understand Canadians. For a long time, that was partly true, but there were always people that were outside, that were kept outside of that. And it turns out that a lot of young Sikhs like hockey and wanted to play hockey and sort of existed in the margins and the shadows. They faced a lot of discrimination. The bulk of them live either in Toronto or in the Vancouver area. Or their parents didn't understand why in the world you would spend money, and it's very expensive to play hockey in Canada, why you would spend money on it. One of the things that Professor Zito also explores is, and this is something that was very interesting, something you and I have talked about, are sports best done in schools? Or would it be better if they were done outside of school? And as you and I have noted, that leads to the kinds of excesses that we see in AAU and other kinds of travel sports. And it is one of the reasons, because that is the way it is done in Canada. Most all high schools do not have sports teams. Kids play outside them. Only the elite can participate, because if you go to Brewer High School and you make the football team, you're not suddenly assessed $750 for equipment and officials and travel, because it's in the athletic budget. So a lot of the marginalization of the Punjabi and South Asian people is very, very complicated. And I'm going to leave the nuances of that to the author. But she makes some really interesting observations in the course of interviewing people. Now, think about this. We say Jackie Robinson was the first African-American in the modern era to break the color line in baseball. That is not inaccurate, but what if we say it this way? Jackie Robinson was the first African-American white people allowed to play baseball in the modern era. That phrase puts the question a very different way, and that's sort of what a lot of her approach to looking at this does. She is an unabashed hockey fan. She likes hockey, and what she did was she focused on Hockey Night Canada Punjabi, which is in itself a remarkable story. It was a younger man who lived in Western Canada. Was practicing doing games in Punjabi in his home area, and he convinced the CBC to give him a tryout to do a Punjabi broadcast for the CBC when they still had Hockey Night in Canada, before they sold it to Rogers. And to make a long story short, they didn't even know the guy was commuting on his own from Western Canada. They thought he lived in Toronto. He was just coming out for the weekend and back, and he was barely making ends meet. But it became a big hit, and in the Punjabi community, it became a way for Punjabi people to understand the game because he broadcast in Punjabi. Now, Hockey Night in Canada Punjabi has a full-time staff, and they're centered in Vancouver, and they have a big budget and all. But they are still what this woman would call an ethnic broadcast. The people at Hockey Night in Canada in English, remember, there's no Hockey Night in Canada in French, which is also pretty interesting. They don't talk to these guys as if they're experts on hockey. They only talk to them as if they're experts on how to convey hockey to Punjabi people. And so she opens up this whole way of looking at Canada's cultural myths. And what I liked, I thought she did better than any writer I've ever read before on this topic. You and I live in a multi-ethnic country. We don't necessarily live in a multicultural country in that we have cultural enclaves. But a lot of, for instance, in where we live, we have very little contact with certain cultures that are prevalent in other parts of the country. And it, so we sometimes think of multi-ethnicity as the same thing as multicultural, and it really isn't. And the book does a fascinating job of exploring that. It's only about 160 pages of text, though it took me quite a while to read it because every couple of pages I'd have to put it down and think about something I just read. And I've read a lot of hockey literature. I've read many, many of her source materials that she consulted. But what she did was put, you know, into context the kinds of things that happened in this country to, you know, certain groups. We've talked about how, when we've talked about the Dahl Shays book and other books about early basketball, there were people that called it the Jewish game because it was a game played by New York City kids and a lot of them in Jewish neighborhoods. How baseball was at one point thought to be a real Italian game. You look back to the 30s and 40s, how many Italian stars there were, and how different groups sort of worked their way through, and how many Latin players we have in baseball today. Well, Canada still is primarily, the NHL in Canada and the aspiring players are still primarily white Northern European stock. More indigenous people are starting to get to play, and there are more South Asians playing, more Asians playing. But as that happens, Canada has to redefine what hockey is and has to think about it in a different kind of way. And it's really, really fascinating. And as she points out, I think changing on the fly is a great metaphor for this because it is the only game you can change on the fly that I know of. I don't know of any other major game you can just hop over the boards when someone else pops off, and how maybe Canada is starting to change on the fly a little bit in relation to this. She also explores the gender differences, you know, how we've talked about how women's hockey gets the short shrift in a lot of places, and how people value sports, you know, that there are parents that value sports way more than they should, and maybe there's some parents who don't understand their value, and that can also be culturally based. So it's a pretty fascinating book. And again, it is a little on the college professor side, I think probably for some people's taste, but it is so meticulously researched and done. I have no idea how it took her only 5 years to do this. In fact, I sent Courtney Zito an email to that effect a couple of days ago. I said, I'm just astonished that you did all this in 5 years because the research is unbelievable.
Excellent. We'll look forward to hearing from Courtney and talking more about the book. What's ahead in the next couple of weeks on Sports Lit?
Well, next week for sure, we're going to talk about our friend Bob Walsh's book entitled To Nothing, which I really enjoyed. I thought it was really good. And we'll talk about The Mighty Oak, and then the week after that, and then I hope we can get Jeff Benz on. I think you have his contacts.
I sure do. And now, is Bob going to be on with us next week when we talk about that?
I don't know. He's in the middle of a lot of stuff, so I don't know. I'm going to contact him and see if he can come on, because you've read it as well, right?
I have, yes.
Yeah. I thought it'd be interesting if we could do that, and I will be reaching out to him today to see, because I know before there was some, I looked at the Providence College schedule, and it looked like they might have had a basketball game next week at Wednesday at 5 o'clock. So, but everything changes all the time. So
right. All right. Very good.
I will get a hold of them.
Awesome. That sounds great. Thank you, Bruce.
All right. Thank you, sir.